Bibles. We're in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 9 to 17. Life a vanishing vapor. Life a vanishing vapor. Doesn't last long, and it goes quickly. Let's read together James 4, verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. These are real situations. And people have all these different characteristics. Be afflicted, first of all. Sometimes that is affliction. And we have afflictions. We have sickness. I don't know what the cause always, but be afflicted. And verse Psalm 119, verse 67, other verses on affliction. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Sometimes God has to afflict us, chastise us, so that we don't go astray from his word. In Psalm 119, verse 71, another verse that we have, and that is, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We don't very often pray and thank the Lord for afflictions and hardships, but David did, that I may learn thy statutes. Then in Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Again, when we're afflicted, we don't moan and groan. We should be as the psalmist and thank the Lord for giving us afflictions so we might know the Lord better and better. Then he says in the same verse, be afflicted and mourn. That's in verses on mourning in Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And one of the purposes sometimes is mourning. And then in Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 4, jumping down from verse 1 to verse 4, there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. These are things and times that go by, and have to bear up with them, whatever they may be. Then it says there's a time to weep. In Jeremiah 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Many of the Israelites were murdered and killed and slain, and Jeremiah the prophet wanted to weep for them. He was very serious and sad about that. Then notice also in that verse 9, there's a time to laugh, laughter. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter. And we don't very often agree with that, but God says in his word, sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart is made better. Then this verse also talks about heaviness. And your joy will be turned to heaviness. In Ezra 9, verse 5, that same word is used. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. So heaviness brings praise to the Lord and looking to him for glory and for honor and blessing. Let's read verse number 10 together. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble ourselves. That makes us low. Many verses on humility and humbleness. In Psalm 9 and verse 12, for example, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God does not forget the cry of humble people. And believers can be humble. Some are not humble, but high and mighty. In Proverbs 16 and verse 19, better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Humble spirit with the lowly and divide the spoil. Not many people would agree with that, but that's scripture. In Matthew 18 and verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility, like a little child. Then in Matthew 28 and verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Humility, a great characteristic and trait. Then in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. God's grace to the humble. Then in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, we see, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Exaltation after humility doesn't come fast. In due time. We must be waiting for the Lord and his exhortation, and in due time, whatever God's time is, we must humble ourselves and be not afraid of being humble. Let's read verse number 11 together. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So speaking evil of thy brethren. Now, when you expose a brother, say, born-again Christian, for his preaching false doctrine, and for speaking things that are against the Bible, I don't believe that's speaking evil, that's correcting false doctrine. Speaking evil of a person means he's mean, he's ugly, he's one thing or another, but speak evil. And that's a present negative, and it's stop an action already in progress. These Christians here that James is speaking about were speaking of evil right over and over. He says, stop it. That's what this present negative means in Greek. Stop speaking evil one of another. Brethren, he that continues to speak evil, that's present tense, of his brother, fellow Christian, and continues to judge, that's present tense again, his brother, continues to speak evil of the law, that's another present tense, and continues to judge the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So these are some of the characteristics apparently in James' time were being practiced. For instance, this speaking evil. That really blasphemy is blaspheme. In Mark 3 and verse 29, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. I believe that's in Mark's time, but we can't speak evil or blaspheme God the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 26 and verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and continue to compel them to blaspheme, speaking evil, and being exceedingly mad against them, I have persecuted them even in a strange city. So there were apostles and early Christians in the early church that were blaspheming and saying evil things of the Lord. Then in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Perhaps you know this, if you do, let's say it. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what God's command is. Well, how do we know what is against the name of Christ? We've got to read the scriptures. We've got to know what it is so that we will not have this departing, the foundation of God, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them there is, and not to blaspheme the Lord. Then the word judge, using this verse number 11, in Acts 10 and verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is referring to here. He was ordained of God the Father to judge not only the saved, the quick, at the judgment seat of Christ, but also the lost at the great white throne. And the Lord Jesus is the judge. And we're to preach to the people to testify as ordained of God to be a judge of the quick, the living, and the dead. And in Acts 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day, that is, God has appointed a certain day, we don't know when that day is, which he will judge the world in righteousness. They don't have any righteousness today, much of the world, but he will judge it in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge of the whole world. If those especially the lost, at the great white throne judgment seat, and for the Christian people at the great at the judgment seat of Christ. He will judge the world in righteousness. It will be a righteous judgment. Some people say, well, why are you judging me, sending me to hell? Well, he has done that in a righteous manner. They haven't trusted his Son, the Lord Jesus. And by that man whom he hath ordained, God has ordained the Son to be this judge of the whole world, saved and lost. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He's reigned, he raised his Son from the dead. He's going to be the judge of saved and lost at the two judgments in the future. Then in Romans 1:2 and verse 16, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. In other words, in line with the gospel of Christ, he will judge. And the gospel of Christ is very clear. Gospel, evangelion, means good news. But there's bad news first before people can understand the good news. The bad news, we've said many times, all people are sinners before the eyes of God, and they'll be sent to hell if that's all they are. Sinners sent to hell. But also, as far as this gospel is good, there's other parts of it. And that is that they must, in order to be saved, must realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, that they're sinners before God. They must realize they're sinners, lost and bound for hell. If they don't think they're sinners, they well, who needs a Savior if you're not a sinner? He must realize that, Lord, that they need a Savior, they're sinners. Then the next thing they must understand and realize, the Lord Jesus Christ died for all sinners, including them. Died for their sins, in place of their sins, as a judgment for their sins. And then the last place, they must accept that Savior, trust Him, believe on Him sincerely and rightly, and only then will they be saved before the Lord. The day that God will judge the secrets of men, He knows all things. He's omniscient. And so even the secrets that they're keeping from everybody else in the world, He will judge them because of them. Let's read verse number 12 together. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? One lawgiver, first thing, able to save. Praise the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save. And for instance, in Luke 19 and verse 10, if we know it, we'll say it together. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the purpose of His coming. That's why He came, to seek and to save the lost. And then notice in John 12 and verse 47, if any man hear my words, says the Lord, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's why the Lord Jesus came into this world, to save this wicked world. Then in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The world thinks preaching about Christ is foolishness and folly. But by the foolishness of preaching the gospel, save them, not all of them, them that believe. There must be genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, this is, we know, let's say it here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. He came to save sinners. And in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, you know that one perhaps? Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for those who come to Him as Savior, Redeemer. Then He's also able to destroy. He's lawgiver, Lord, He's able to save and to destroy. In Matthew 10, verse 28, And fear not them which kill the body, says the Lord Jesus, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in our Savior. Then as far as just judging one another, there are various verses on that. In Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not as ye be not judged. That's an order that God has given to us. Final judgment is in hell. And judge not that ye be not judged. Of course, in hell you will be judged if you don't have a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 7, verse 24, judge not according to the appearance. That's all we have in our life today. We can't read people's minds. Sometimes we can see things they do, and that's appearance. We judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. So if we're judging anything, be sure it's righteous, and that's simply by the appearance. Things we cannot see are there as well. And then in John 7, verse 24, that's what it was, yeah. Romans 14, verse 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. He's reading unclean things. And let him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So these are things that are very important. He's able to make him stand firm for his belief. And then in Romans 14, verse 10, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every genuine Christian will stand before that judgment seat of Christ. Let the Lord Jesus judge us at that judgment seat of all believers. Then in Romans 14, verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. We can talk to one another, genuine Christians, and we may talk in various ways. Judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Many times they see us, the way we talk, the way we walk, what we do, and it's a stumbling block, occasion to fall in our fellow Christians' way. So we've got to stand firm for the Lord. Let's read verse number 13 together. Go to now, ye therefore, that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So he's warning us to be careful. Today or tomorrow I will do this or that. Now some verses on today. Just today. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Talking about the Psalms. Harden not your heart. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Those Israelite wilderness people harden their hearts continuously. And in Luke 19 and verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place where he was traveling, he looked up and saw him, that is Zacchaeus, up in a tree. He wanted to get high enough so he could see the Lord coming. And when he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. He went to abide in a sinner's house, Zacchaeus, and gave him the gospel and the good news. Another verse on today, Luke 29, verse 43. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He said that to the thief on the cross who trusted the Lord, trusted him as his Savior. And the Lord Jesus turned to him. The Lord Jesus was on the center cross, turned to the one at his right hand, the thief, and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That thief died that day. Spirit and soul immediately were taken into paradise, into heaven itself. And paradise is the name of the place before it was called heaven, before it was taken up to heaven. Then in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, another verse on today. For he saith, I have heard thee, and time accepted. The day of salvation have I succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. No unsaved person should ever put off trusting Christ as Savior. The very day is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. We should exhort and encourage people, genuine Christians, every day, today, while it's called today. Then in Hebrews 13:8, we know this one. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ
the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes, the same, never changes, today and forever. And then and there's verses on tomorrow. Today is one thing. Tomorrow, people say, I'm going to go and sell and get gain. In Proverbs 27:1, I think we know this one, if we do, let's say, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't boast of what's going to happen, we think, tomorrow. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, they're in the desert, they're in the big cathedral where the beasts, lions were, what advantage is to me if the dead rise not? If the dead doesn't rise again, let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die. That's what a lot of people say. Let's eat and drink, tomorrow we die. But there's more than just death. There's judgment for those that are lost, never trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Let's read verse number 14 together. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. That's why we titled our message this morning, Life is like a little vapor that vanishes away. And life and days. There are 17 verses about life. I want you to pay heed to each one of these. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Life from God through the sand and various things. The dirt of the earth, dust of the ground. Then in Job 7:1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? Just a few days and serving others. Then Job 7:6. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They're spent without hope. The days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And a fourth verse. Job 8:9. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are like a shadow. Just a little shadow goes up in the night, down up in the night, and down when the light shines upon it. Then in Job 9:25, we said that. Now Job 10:20. Are not my days few? All of our days are few compared to eternity. Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Job was very seriously ill, as you know. Then in Job 14:1, man is born of a woman of few days. Well, some live in their 80s and 90s and 100s, but just a few days, and full of trouble. We've got to realize a lot of trouble in the days that we live. And then in Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Speaking of death, Job's got a few days, months to live, but his days are determined when he's going to die. And then Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All his days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job knew that there was going to be a change one of these days. have a glorified body in heaven, but all the days of my appointed time, all the pain that he suffered, losing his friends, losing his jobs, losing his children, all these things, my time will come. And it's Psalm 39, verse 4. David said, Lord, make me to know mine end, that is when I die, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. The measure of my days. Every one of us has a measure. We don't know what that measure is. Is it when I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100? The measure of my days. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Handbreadth is from the thumb to the little finger. My days, compared to eternity, as a handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. That's nothing. The Lord Jesus, the Lord Father, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, from eternity past to eternity future. My age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Then in Psalm 90, verse 10, an 11th verse. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be maybe 80 years, that's 80. That is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off as we fly away. It's soon cut off, no matter how old we may be, before death. Then in Psalm 90, in verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Every day we should thank the Lord for genuine Christians, for helping us live that long, that we may serve the Savior, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom, day by day, applying our hearts. And then in Psalm 102, in verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. When light is there and darkness is there, it's a shadow. It delights. I am withered like grass. That's what his days. And then Psalm 102, in verse 23 and 24, he weakeneth my strength in the way. He shortened my days. Sometimes the Lord does shorten our days, and they die, we die quick and soon. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Take me not away in the midst of my days. Whether it's 10 years, 15, 20, 25, 30, 30, the 40s. He wanted to stay so he could live for the Lord. Then Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. Days as the grass. Doesn't life live long? In wintertime, it stops growing and so on. And in Psalm 119, verse 84. How many are the days of thy servants? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The days of the servants. And then Psalm 144, and verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Just a shadow. That's all it is. And that verse 14 says, that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What is your life? Like a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And now here's a man with tomorrow's plans. A foolish man in the Bible. All of us have tomorrow's plans. In Luke 12, 16 and following, this man spake a parable unto them, the Lord Jesus. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow my fruits, all the fruits and my goods. That was his plan for tomorrow. Build a bigger barn. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink and be merry. But God said unto him, this was a tomorrow's planner that couldn't see tomorrow. Thou fool. Sometimes God calls us that. I didn't call him by fool. God did. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, you know, after he's going to die. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Then Lord Jesus sums it up in this next verse. Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So the days of our life, like a shadow, we can't boast about tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Let's read verse number 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, if it's the will of the Lord, we should always seek the will of the Lord. Most of the will of the Lord is found in His words in the Scriptures, Old and New Testaments. In Luke 12 and verse 47, the Lord Jesus says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. In those days, the Lord had a certain wish and will for these servants to do. He didn't care about them, so he was beaten. If it's the Lord's will, that's important. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. Paul says, I'm going to come and see you if the Lord will. The Lord is not always willing what we're willing to do. Ask Him always. And we'll know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Another verse in the Lord, in 1 John 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. According to His will. If the Lord will. Very important. All that we do. Let's read verse number 16 together. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. We're not to boast in the first place. Be proud and arrogant. Say, look what I've done. Look what I said. If we rejoice in our boastings. In Romans 3 and verse 27. Where is boasting then? That is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. We don't have to boast what our works are, but by faith. Let's see what happens. And then in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope where your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. And the Lord's will and boasting should be out of our lives. We should not be part of that at all. Let's read verse number 17 together. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him that is sin, knoweth to do good. Now, the only place we can know to do what God wants us to do is in the Scriptures. And if we know the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, as we should, and we know what God wants us to do, knows what to do that is good. Not good in our sight, but good in God's sight. But if we know to do good and do it not, it is sin because it's transgression of what we should do, what we do. Knowing to do good. In Matthew 22 and verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. Knowing to do good and do it not. May God give us the desire to do good and to know what good is, not evil, by reading the Word of God scripturally, Genesis, Revelation. So when we do know what to do good, to actually do it. And if we know God's will and don't do it, God calls it sin. Knowing to do what God wants us to do and say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it, it is sin. And the Lord, keep us out of that kind of sin. And help us, every one of us, to ask, if the Lord will, we will do this. And try to be in His will, not standing against His will, anything that we do or say and everything. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we do thank Thee for these things we can learn from Thee. We thank Thee for the fact that our days are few in number. Help us to understand that, and help us also to make good use of our days that we have. We thank Thee for giving us whatever years we have. Thank Thee for, if we're genuine Christians, we thank Thee, Lord, for saving our souls as we've trusted in Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And help us, Lord, as long as we're living, not to turn back, not to go against Thee, but before Thee, knowing Thy will and doing it so Thou canst receive us to glory. And as if we're genuine Christians, if we stand and where we stand and when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have things that we can say that are good and praiseworthy. And he will say to us, we're glad for faithful brethren and sisters in Christ, that we may serve Him all of our years. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymnals again. Turn to hymn.